on WNYC. And long before Election Day in November, here's a vote you can cast for the most important public intellectuals. The magazines Foreign Policy in this country and Prospect from Britain have named their top 100 public intellectuals, we'll give you some of the list, and are inviting the public to vote for their top five. So let's talk about some of these names now and talk about their impact and the role of public intellectuals today. And oh, by the way, who would you name as the top public intellectuals in the world in 2005, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, as we meet William Dobson, managing editor of Foreign Policy magazine. Hello, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Why'd you make a list of public intellectuals?
Well, there's been, as a phenomenon, a growth. I mean, if you can imagine a field having a cottage industry worldwide, it's certainly one is certainly public intellectuals, and we were very curious at how that would what that list would look like if you drew it up. Now, Prospect Magazine originally a year ago had a similar exercise where they focused just on the UK, and then they came to us and said, "What if we did something global?" And we were very intrigued by that because many of the people that write for Foreign Policy magazine are from every continent. So we teamed up with the editors at Prospect and the editors here at Foreign Policy to try and come up with a list. But at its root, the thing that we were really interested in doing, because what's key here is public intellectuals, no one ever asked the public who they think. And so we came up with our list of 100, in many ways, almost just to try and get the conversation started. And now we're interested to see and hear from the public what they think about that list and also who maybe they would have added to it that they don't see there right now.
Interesting. And I have to say, a lot of this list reads like a guest list from our show. And here are just some of the names of people who have been on this program in the past. Jagdish Bhagwati, Noam Chomsky, Jared Diamond, Neil Ferguson, Thomas Friedman, Francis Fukuyama, Howard Gardner, Timothy Garton Ash, Henry Louis Gates, Christopher Hitchens. I noticed, by the way, that you listed Christopher Hitchens' profession as polemicist, which is interesting. I don't think anybody else got that title. Michael Ignatieff, Robert Kagan, Naomi Klein, Lawrence Lessig, Bernard Lewis, Camille Paglia, Steven Pinker, and Salman Rushdie, and Jeffrey Sachs, and Elaine Scarry, and it goes on and on and on. One name I was interested in was Ali al-Sistani.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have immediately thought of him to nominate for a public intellectuals list. Why did you include the cleric from Iraq?
Well, first thing, I should say that these names were debated exhaustively, both within our offices and across, but there was a strong feeling that when it comes to intellectuals that are having an influence on a public right now, in a very practical sense, Sistani is one that ranks very high in what his ideas and views will mean to the Iraqi public and their own decisions about the form of governance that they take on going forward. So, and we were very much influenced by the idea that we wanted to look at people who are having, in some respects, the practical dimension to their ideas and their notions in terms of how it shapes the world that we see around us right now. And he certainly, as an intellectual, has a impact on his public that few intellectuals have. I mean, if you have dons in the academy, may influence us in great ways, but on a day-to-day basis, there are many people in Iraq that hang on his every word.
By the way, for listeners who might want to take a look at this list and then even vote for your top five and maybe give us a call and talk through one or two of these people who you think are either very influential or just very influential on you. You don't have to be a sort of pundit of the mind and say who you think is influential for others, but you can take a look at the list. We have a link on our blog, so go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you will see the Prospect Magazine, Foreign Policy Magazine list of the top 100 public intellectuals that they've compiled, and then you can vote for your top five. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. All right, now we've put together a few clips of some of the people from your list who've been on this show, just to give folks a little idea of their ideas. Mm-hmm. For example, the aforementioned polemicist, Christopher Hitchens.
The purpose of my essay is to show that it doesn't matter whether people are allowed to vote or allowed to pretend to vote in Iran tomorrow or not, because the system by which the Iranian theocracy organizes its citizens is that of state childhood. There's a Muslim concept, it's a perversion of a Muslim concept called the velayati faqih, the guardianship of the jurist, that would be the translation. It means that the clergy are the parents.
And let's do another one from a completely different realm. Here's the biologist Richard Dawkins on the thinking that went into his 2004 book, The Ancestor's Tale.
I was trying to write a history of life. The history of life is 4 billion years old. The obvious way to write a history is to go forward, starting at the origin, which is 4 billion years ago, and working up to the present. If you do that and you end up with humans, and one tends to end up with humans because that's what people are interested in, then it looks as though evolution was aimed at humans all along, which of course it wasn't. If you start at the end, however, and work backwards, which is what I've in fact done, then it doesn't matter where you start, you always converge on the origin of life, which is what I'm calling Canterbury in my pilgrimage.
So the biologist Richard Dawkins on this show back in November of last year. And we are talking with William Dobson, managing editor of Foreign Policy magazine, which is trying to put the public back in the term public intellectuals by finding out who you consider important intellectuals out there in the public sphere. And we'll take some phone calls. We'll hear some more clips from others on their list of 100 who have been on the program. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Angela in Manhattan has a nomination. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to give props and put out there the name Michael Eric Dyson, who's insightful, erudite, and always has something to say, whatever issue you bring to the table.
Yes, and when he's on the show, he tends to use the phrase public intellectual as part of his mission. He works in academia, but he is trying very consciously to communicate his ideas to a wider audience, sometimes using pop culture kinds of methods, as I think you'd agree with, Angela. And so he's very much trying to be out there as a public intellectual.
Well, but I think he also brings to the table the ability that most don't, where he can talk to the pop culture, Generation X, Generation Next, and the erudite in academia,
yes,
and all take what he has to say seriously.
Thank you for your call. Did you consider Michael Eric Dyson for your list?
He did not come up, but that's Angela's identified what, in our mind, were very important elements in getting on the list, and she's very right. He's an excellent choice in that respect, which is someone who's shown distinction in their own field, along with the ability to communicate ideas and influence debate outside of it. And in that respect, he's definitely a very worthy candidate.
From another side of the political spectrum, John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Yes, I'm wondering about William F. Buckley, who used to be on Firing Line on PBS. What does he stand on your list?
Is Buckley on your list?
He is not on the list.
I didn't think so.
In no way should one assume that we necessarily, if you're not on the list, we consider them. But in his case, I suspect that he's not on the list in part because there aren't that many, when you look across the list, people who you would identify as being clearly on the left or clearly on the right. It's actually somewhat ideologically a fairly mainstream list, and so that was one thing that sort of struck us when we looked back on the 100 once they were selected, and we'd had so many arguments back and forth about some of the different names, but one thing that comes across very clearly is that there are far fewer socialists and communists on the list than you might have had if you drew this list up 20 years ago. But it's also true that there aren't as many people so clearly identified with the right either. And on some level, and this is why we want the public to be involved with this, when you compile a list, it says as much about the compilers as the people on the list. So we're a non-ideological magazine. Prospect is fairly middle of the road as well. So that may explain that.
Yeah, although interestingly, to my eye, when you look at the books that are sold, the nonfiction mm-hmm. issue-oriented books that are sold, and there's been an uptick in that in the last few years. They tend to be fairly ideological, don't they? They're either Bill O'Reilly or they're Al Franken.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. I mean, what I'm saying is, in terms of the editors here at Prospect and at Foreign Policy, there's no question that in the public conversation many people have commented on how partisan and how hit it's become and how little room there is in the middle now. But we were gravitating more to people that I think have less or less strong ideological labels. Christopher Hitchens is one who stands out as having strong political beliefs that he communicates frequently. Noam Chomsky is clearly a member of the left, a leader of the left. But again, there are very few like them on the list overall. Much more, if you could characterize them, much more internationalists.
Let's play a couple of more clips of members of this public intellectual top 100 in Foreign Affairs and Prospect magazine. Funny that you talk about internationalists. In the realm of the international economy, here is Jagdish Bhagwati, economics professor at Columbia University, on the effects of rapid growth on underdeveloped societies back in January of 2003.
But you also get disturbances even if you're not integrated. Your harvest fails, or you fail to grow because you're not internationally integrated like India did. So as population expands and you have stagnation in the economy, that also leads to the kinds of disturbances, another set of disturbances. Mm-hmm.
Bhagwati, very much a free trader, unlike this guest who was on the show a few times, the writer Naomi Klein.
As you say, Argentina was the so-called model student of the International Monetary Fund. And what that meant is that they applied the rule book of the International Monetary Fund with sort of slavish devotion, which means that they drastically downsized the government and then they privatized everything from oil to street signs. In downtown Buenos Aires, there's so little actual public space that the street signs are brought to you by MasterCard and Howard Johnson's, just to give you a sense of how privatized a country we're talking about.
Naomi Klein, one of the top 100 public intellectuals on the list. Again, you can see a link at our blog page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to read the entire top 100, and then you can vote on your top five for the Foreign Policy and Prospect editors. By the way, apropos of nothing, except that it just moved across the wire a little while ago, and those clips were on the economy. This in from Washington, where economists who thought the red-hot housing market was cooling off may have spoken too soon. According to AP, sales of previously owned homes rose in August to the second highest level on record, and home prices rose at the fastest pace in 26 years. So if it is a bubble, it hasn't burst yet, and we'll talk more about that later. But right now, back to some of your suggestions for public intellectual. How about, Kate in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Mario Cuomo, I think, is a true intellectual.
You get a sentence as to why.
Well, he's Jesuit educated. If you read his books, you Reason to Believe being one. He's written a number of books. I think he was just too erudite to become a presidential candidate, but he is a true intellectual in my mind.
Okay, interesting. Thank you very much. In fact, on our board, we're going to go through some of the callers, William Dobson mm-hmm. from Foreign Affairs, but we actually had two calling in, I presume they didn't know each other, for Mario Cuomo, and two calling in for Michael Eric Dyson. So we will just note that and go to some of the others. Hi, this is Kate in Chelsea. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Barbara Ehrenreich.
Her name came up. She was someone that was discussed because a lot of people think very, very highly of her work.
And she is well known these days because of Nickel and Dime. Mm-hmm. But she's been writing on so many different topics, on mm-hmm. war, on relations between men and women over a 20-year-plus period.
Mm-hmm. No, she's an excellent choice, and I hope the caller will visit our website and cast a vote for her. She's definitely someone that I think would rank very well among these 100 names.
Thank you, Kate. Paul in Nyack, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I was just wondering if the Dalai Lama made the list.
No, he did not. He is not on the list. And I believe his name did come up as well. I think that there were some votes cast for him within the stabs of both magazines, but at the end of the day, there weren't enough to carry. So why might that have been? I'm not sure. It's a good question. He definitely, in some respects, would rank highly on the list. There may be a sense that his, as global as his reach is, there hasn't been as much change that's come from his ideas as some of the others. But I'm just speculating. At the end of the day, it's inherently arbitrary to try and cut it at 100. You know, why not 105? But ultimately, we'd make a lot of tough choices, and I assume he's one of the tougher ones that we didn't put on the list.
Antonia in Jersey City has another one. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. I guess one thing that hits me is, with the exceptions of Mr. Sachs and Mr. Dermod and Mr. Hawkins, it seems to be bereft of technology and sciences. What about Tim Berners-Lee with the invention of the Internet that is often credited to him? Jim Watson with the development of the DNA molecule and hence all the developments of that? Or Drs. Edwards and Steptoe and their role in IVF and then subsequent development of stem cells? It seems that the idea of public very often gets translated into literary. In other words, people who publish popular books.
Right, or political.
Right.
Yeah, how'd you deal with the question of specialty area, William? And we have 30 seconds left.
Sure. Well, I would point out there are a number of scientists and technologists there, Gerard Lanier, Neil Gershenfeld, and others. Ultimately, I think my personal opinion is that the list is weighted heavily towards those who've had sort of political and economic ideas. What we tried to do is look in the case of those who maybe aren't articulating their ideas in the public sphere by writing essays and whatnot, by looking at the impact of their technologies. And so some of those that appear on the list appear on the list for those reasons.
So, William Dobson from Foreign Affairs.
Foreign Policy.
That's the cardinal sin. Brand X. Foreign Policy Magazine. You can go to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll get a link to their 100 Public Intellectuals page and vote for yours. Interesting. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.